Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. First and foremost, I want to take a moment. Oh, let me just put the date on. Today is January the 14th of 2016. I don't believe that I've done a broadcast in this new year, so I want to take a moment to, of course, thank everyone and I wish everyone a happy new year. May this 2016 presidential year be a year of promise and prosperity for any and everyone in and around the world. This is a presidential election year. The market, of course, as you know, has done some topsy-turvy type things. I've heard, by the way of contacts and references, that this is going to be a pretty solid year in terms of our American economy. There were some indicators up just a couple of days ago where the market lost several hundred points. But I think that it has rebounded and on its way to stability. And it's going to be pretty amazing because, well, the president is already kind of, well, he had his final State of the Union address. I haven't watched it yet. I'm tired because I've been running this constantly, covering a number of bases and helping a number of people in just a number of situations and things like that. So, but I shall not faint, and I will not grow weary. I will, we'll carry on. But now I want to take a moment to thank everybody that came out and comes out to my broadcast. It's because of you that I continue on. It's because of you that I continue to make these broadcasts. And simply, the reason I do that is it's kind of amazing. And I used to start, and I'm going to, I keep saying that I'm going to do it over the course of this weekend. As I rebuild some other computers, I'll just do some things with mine as well. But it's amazing how people of, this country and around the world, for that matter, being logical thinking individuals, you would think, just kind of, I've heard people, call sheeple, and that's a pretty good example of how the leader sheep, sheep are up on a mountain, and if the leader sheep, jumps off the mountain for whatever reason, then the majority of other sheep that are in that group, are going to jump off, behind them just and follow their fate to, their death. For no apparent reason, they do this. And people kind of take on that same characteristic when it comes to dissemination of information, or what we formally call the media. And it brings me to the name of this broadcast is Polls, Politics, and the Media. These are three fairly amazing categories in our human evolution. And it's kind of amazing how people, will take things and just run with it. They'll take news information and, hearsay. The old saying about, A says something to B, says something to C, says something to D, and by the time it gets to F, G, H, they're killing them. And Z, the story has changed so dramatically, greatly, that it almost is, you're almost unable to attach it to the beginning of how the story started in the first place. And that's kind of where we are today. I'm very, very tired. Like I said, I don't sleep too often because I constantly have things to do and places to be. But I felt compelled to come on today and do a broadcast simply because of the incident that occurred with our 10 sailors in the Persian Gulf. How they were taken in by the Iranians, and what's really amazing here is the slant that the media will put on things to create sensationalization, to sensationalize the story, to keep people coming back to view more news. You know, more media, more news, more viewers, more revenue, keeps the jobs going and all this other kind of stuff. You know, I get it. I understand it. The great thing about it and the beautiful thing about it is as people are starting to wake up when it comes to being more selective and judgmental about the media that they ingest or that they take in. And we as a human people, and especially here in America, are becoming wiser. And this is why, you know, Mr. Trump and, you know, Mr. Ben Carson and a lot of these other people out there in the media, you know, are kind of blasting at the media because, you know, they do take stories and they twist them and turn them to create sensationalization and to create almost a untruthfulness in the story in which they report, so that they can, you know, drive the audience. And so if it's dull and flat, then people are not going to want to, you know, they may listen to it one time, but two and three times is, you know, it's old news, it's dull and flat, and they just, you know, just the human nature and the nature of human beings is to kind of just, you know, let it die down and let it go. But if they can put a slant, a sensationalized twist or a slant on the story that they, or the stories that they report, then it makes it more captivating for a more captive audience and, you know, the return of viewership and revenues and so forth and so on. Every time that they run and I know most people know this, but every time they run a commercial on the news, there's revenues generated in many different ways, okay, for the spot itself. You know, the news broadcasting company is collecting fees for that spot or revenues for that spot, then, you know, whatever it is that they're promoting on the news, they're hoping to, you know, capture a percentage of viewers to go out and buy the product or experience the service or, you know, consume whatever it is they're trying to, you know, sell on that segment. And it kind of all works hand in hand. I hope and pray that one day the media will be a more straightforward source of news and information and not, you know, try to, you know, over-dramatize the story and just give it to us, you know, to the people in straight fact, no fluff and certainly no fiction. Wolf Blitzer, you know, I just got to put his name out there. I just don't particularly, you know, care for it. Now, him as an individual, I hear he's a great guy. I've seen him in many different circles of influence and many different, you know, diverse circles, for that matter, and rubbing shoulders and having a good time, you know, a genuine good time. But when it comes to him doing the news broadcast, hi, this is Will Blitzer, and with the breaking news, he's always doing the breaking news. You know, and he sets it with that solemn, you know, look and, you know, all serious and flat, you know, and just try, you know, but he tried, you know, when he's in that dramatic mode and mindset, you look at his eyes, look at him, you know, and he puts himself in that trance, you know, state of being or mind, if you will, to deliver, you know, the impact, you know, of the news, regardless of how, you know, severe or not severe the story actually is. And this is something that really kind of bothers me. I'm just, like I said, I'm just really glad that people are starting to see through
the inertia and all the muck, you know, if you will, and really can kind of peer forward into the heart of the subject, you know, or subject matter, and starting to demand, you know, that, you know, this is what we get, you know. And we're going to watch your broadcast and just give us, you know, the straight scoop, you know, without all the fluff, you know, because it's certainly, to me, it's agonizing. You know, it's painful for me to watch it, you know, when I can disseminate, you know, the information, I can look at it and tell, you know, and you know, because I'm fairly intuitive, you know, and I can kind of see things even before they occur and stuff, but when it comes out like that, it's really disturbing, you know, that they try to do that. So much so that I'm here today running on fumes, you know, on probably about 1.5 cylinders to bring this forward. We had the sailors that were, you know, they say captured. Now, it actually wasn't a capture, you know, and of course they showed the, you know, sailors on their knees with their hands above their head, you know, fingers clasped. This is standard procedure, folks. You know, these are military individuals, you know, or people that represent a military force. You don't know really where they come from, you know, from, you know, one military to the other. So you have to go through these, you know, as a precautionary procedure, or what we call over here in America, assuming the position. You know, a lot of people of the minority and African-American, you know, communities are accustomed and are used to this, command. It's just something that, you know, is kind of like, you know, it's 9 times out of 10 it's going to occur, you know, when there's a, you know, when you're, if you have an encounter with an authority figure or a police person or a sheriff or someone that represents the law of this nation. I mean, so for them to, you know, take that caption of that picture and say, you know, look at them. They got them down on their knees and hands clasped behind. Now, if you get on CNN, just get on your little computers, as I am doing now, and go to CNN, and just kind of go through, let's see, I'm on here where it says sailors are detained, okay? That's a good word. Detained is a good word, you know, because they were, that's what they are. They're not captured, you know. See, 10 U.S. sailors captured via Iran, now free. Now, that's one of the titles. But then when you put it in the search engine and it comes up as you look for the videos and everything, it says sailors detained in Iran. That's what they were, because they was only there for a day, you know. And like I say, this is a customary procedure for them. But now, if you go back and it says, you know, Iran frees detained sailors, and it's a 1 minute and 37 second little clip that I'm highlighting right now. You'll see them laid down, laid back, hands folded, legs crossed, you know, leaning over to the side, you know, like they're at home, you know. So it tells you directly about the environment, you know, that they're in. You know, that it tells you about how relaxed or, you know, they're being detained, you know, actually was, you know. And like I say, the news have put this slant and this twist on it to make it seem like, you know, they went through pure hell for one day, you know, and they were like, you know, mistreated and all this other kind of stuff. Now, I listened to the apology, and I have it queued up here, and he clearly says, and now I quote, "It was a mistake that, and was our fault that we, and we apologize for our mistake," said the U.S. sailor, who was identified by Iran's press TV as the commander, okay, of the sailors, of the 10 sailors. "It was a misunderstanding. We did not mean to go into Iranian territorial waters. The Iranian behavior was fantastic while we were there. We thank you very much for your hospitality and your assistance." That sounds like they had a pretty good time. That sounds like, and was there any guns on them or anything like that? Or what? These are U.S. sailors. Now, and you can best believe, if they were under duress of any kind, guns or whatever the case may be, you know, they're trained sailors, they're trained military professionals. They are not going to volunteer this type of an apology. Sincere, if you look at the guy, you can tell he's sincere. You know, he's not under any duress. None of them are. Look at them. Just look at their body actions. Look at their body movements and how they are. They're laid back, legs crossed, you know, laid down like they're watching the big screen TV, at, you know, at the home, watching a game or something like that, you know. And they thank the Iranians for their hospitality. Now, this is what's troubling to me. That we've recovered our sailors, okay? They've been through an interrogation. They've been through a debriefing or whatever they call it, you know, whatever you want to call it, stuff like that. In other words, we've talked to them. We know the story as they told it. Now, it just bewilders me that we can come on CNN today or come on any news broadcast today and they don't have a clear story as to what really went on. Mind blowing. Totally mind blowing. What's wrong with our intelligence? What's wrong with our, you know, listening to the story as it was told by the 10 sailors that were there and went through the incident, went through the detaining moments? Why don't we know right off the hand, right off the bat, you know, where are we at in this day of, you know, age of technology and intelligence? To not know something like this firsthand, I mean, right now. Now, if it's unclear after they talked to the Iranians and they talked to the American sailors that went through it and so forth and so on, about what really transpired, it's simply because they want to have time to put a spin on it, or they want to have time to put a twist on it, to sensationalize it, to make, you know, to draw the viewership. Simple as that. There's nothing more, nothing less. You know, and me, quite frankly, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of it. You know, I truly am because I watch it over and over and over again. And they slant the story and twist the story to make, you know, the other people, you know, either bad guys or much more dramatic than it actually is for sensationalization. And, you know, it's the actual reason, or the greatest actual reason, I should say, that we are hated as a nation around the world because of this kind of nonsense right here. You know, and we need to become more straightforward and forthcoming, you know, in regards to how we go about the media and just how we go about the world. If we want to stop all of this hatred and all of this jihad and all of this, you know, terrorism, ISIS, ISIL, and all this other kind of stuff. How do we defeat it? This is a psychological war. These are psychological warfare. This is why no one really knows how to defeat, you know, the forces of, you know, of jihad, because you can't. It's not a thing where you can, you know, pick a target, you know, and you know, detonate a bomb or whatever the case may be, or you know, send a round of bullets or missiles or whatever the case may be, and just destroy and wipe it out. You know, that'll never, ever, it only escalates the hatred. That's all it does. This is why President Obama has taken the approach that he has in a lot of these situations and encounters, because he understands it. He understands it from a deeper spiritual perspective, you know, and not the, you know, the glazed over, you know, surface that we get from media. It's a lot more complex than that. There used to be a day and time when we could go out and militarily annihilate, you know, a nation or a people like Nagasaki or Hiroshima or something like that, you know, and get people just to submit, you know, by just the sheer fear of war and annihilation. But we're a different world now. we have people that have, you know, traveled in and throughout all fabrics, you know, of the world, not just this nation, but the entire world, is kind of a melting pot of ideology, if you will. So we have to take another and more strategic and more spiritual approach to dealing with, you know, counterterrorism and hatred and these different types of things that, you know, that the modern era is experiencing. And this is why Mr. Obama takes the approach that he does. He understands it. And I would dare to say there's not many people up on that level, up on that hill, that truly, you know, that truly understand it in that particular regard and in its reality. Okay, so anyhow, we need to be thankful and, you know, forgiving and accepting of how, you know, Iran handled this. Iran, if you don't know, is ancient Persia, okay? If you do any research on Persia, you'll find that they are very non-aggressive or non-aggressors when it comes to warfare. They always, you know, have been the defensive party or, you know, nation in war and in indifference and things of that nature. Go back and do some research and study on it. And that's just how they are. That's their, you know, and there was a quote, I don't know if I can find it, by the Ayatollah. He said, you know, something to the effect that we never initiate, you know, conflict, but we will retaliate or defend, you know, conflict. And when they say defend, folks, they're very equipped. You know, you may not really understand it, and on the big scheme and things, but the Iranian people, first of all, they have a million man army. I don't know if you know this or not, but they have a million man army. They can call up at just just at a whistle. Not only that, but they have some of the top notch cyber warfare technologists in the world. In the world. They are very astute, very, very scientific, very, very brilliant, you know, in terms of cyber warfare. And I would dare to match them up. Russia has some good ones, too, and there's some other ones, too. But I would dare to say that, you know, Persia or Iran is probably some of the best. Let me just give you a quick incident, and I'm going to move on to the political thing. We had one of our stealth bat wing, if you will, the black, you know, bat wing stealth spy plane, spy craft that we sent over Iran. Iran cyber warfare specialists were able to lock in onto that aircraft, crack the code, first of all, lock in onto that aircraft, commandeer and steer it and land it in Iran. I mean, I didn't say crash it. I said landed. It was a perfect three-point landing, as a matter of fact. This is how heavy these guys, this is how, you know, intelligent, you know, these guys are in terms of cyber warfare technology. Not only did they commandeer the aircraft, but they landed it with three-point accuracy. As if, you know, we were staring at, you know, as if we were staring at. And it shocked us. It shocked us. It shocked the administration, the Obama administration. It shocked everybody that was in the intelligence community, you know, of this nation, that they would have such capabilities. Caught everybody off guard. Mr. Obama, I never will forget how bewildered he looked in this particular incident. He asked them, you know, could we have our plane back? And they said no. They still have it. They've cracked the code on it. They've reproduced the aircraft, you know. They have the technology. They've enhanced the technology, you know, even more so that I bet that they could send something over and we'd have a hard time tracking it, you know, let alone, you know, taking over the controls and bringing it down here in America. So we have to take a back seat and think about all of these different things and realistic and realism. This is what Mr. Kerry, John Kerry, and Mr. Obama and some of the others that have reached out, to Iran, or reached out some type of branch. I guess we'll say an olive branch, to Iran, in regards to setting down and working out some common, common, existence, going forward, because, they're technologically heavy. I mean, they are. They're people take pride in education. They, they go to school. They have free school and, all these different things, and higher, science, elevated science, curriculums and different things like that. Look at their doctors. I mean, they come over here as doctors, and they do very, very well. There's a lot of people that want to see Iranian doctors because of their knowledge of the practice of medicine. The practice of medicine, which simply means medicine is an ongoing science, an ongoing practice. Okay, but they're just real good at it. All right. Who's to say that, people say, well, we have analog technology in our ICBMs, in our kind of ballistic missiles and things of that nature, but who's to say that they don't have the cyber technology to blow them up right in the silos? Or as they leave the ground, get a couple of hundred feet in the air and just blow them up, over American airspace. So these are some of the things that we have to think about and not, be so quick to judge and quick to jump to this, warmongering position here in this era and day and time, because the consequences are not the same as they used to be, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, and so forth and so on. The game has changed, severely. Anyhow, it feels like I got 60 seconds, so anyhow, love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Okay, and you hear this broadcast all the time saying one God, one people, and one way of life. This is where we're going, folks. This is where we're going. There's a lot of people that's going to kick and scream about it, and all this other kind of stuff because of their, ground or ingrained, hatred for a fellow man and all this other kind of stuff. But this is prophecy. It's written. It's in our Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Torah. It's in all, different, scriptures and things of that nature, that one day mankind will become intelligent, an intelligent and civilized human being, and be able to cohabitate, coexist on this earth. Now, I said I got 10 seconds, but I'm going to keep talking and see what happens, see if we cut off. But a lot of times they'll give me a few more minutes. And I want to thank Blog Talk Radio again, and just greatly for the opportunity to be able to broadcast on this type of free media, that you can be in one place and disseminate information instantaneously around the world. This is a beautiful evolution, in our day and time, it's quite interesting. Like I say, that as we evolve, as a intelligent, human race, our intellect will find a way to create peace on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's the caption. That's the big piece right there. On earth as it is in heaven. How do we get there? Harmony, harmonious. Okay, so anyhow, don't be so quick to follow this media stuff. And like I say, the media hears this. I know the ears of influence hear this. And I'm grateful and thankful for it. I hope something becomes of it and you get something out of it. I pray that each and every day. Because like I say, you're up on high in high places, you don't know high things. You don't think about, high things. And that's okay, because you're human, as we all are. And we learn, from one another. And information, research, and things of that nature. So, that's where we have to be. On the political front, Bernie Sanders, God bless him. He's a sweet old guy, and he's got a lot of fire and vigor. He's 70-some years old, I think, 73 or something like that, or whatever. I'm gonna tell you, folks, and just look at any, past president, Bush, Obama, Clinton, any of them, how quickly they age in that position, in that post, in that role of responsibility, in that leadership, you know, position. It's a very, very stressful and demanding job. And quite frankly and quite honestly, Mr. Sanders, he's not, you know, he's past that time to weather that storm. Trust me on that one. He's not electable. So, excuse me, but can you imagine what the this Democratic side would be without him? It'd be like a one-man, you know, one-pony show, and Hillary Clinton would basically be out there, you know, and that's that. You know, so he has to be there to create, again, the sensationalization, the close polls, New Hampshire and Iowa and all that other kind of stuff. Do a sample in Detroit and see what happens. Do a sample in Chicago. That poll would be so slanted, it'll look like the old Statue of Justice, or, you know, the Justice statue used to be lopsided, one side lower than the other. And in our intelligent evolution, we looked at it one day and said, hey, wait a minute. Those scales aren't balanced. That's not justice. Those scales are tipped, and that's injustice. We got to straighten that thing out so they balanced all the scales. See, there's always a little nice little nuggets there to, you know, to evolve on and stuff like that. But like I said, Mr. Sanders, you know, Bernie Sanders, I love him. You know, sweet old guy, but he's just not. 20 years ago, hey, might have beat her. Probably would have. You know. Anyhow, that's that. Polls, like I say, I've talked about polls before. Polls are only good for the area in which they are sampled. New Hampshire and Iowa, case in point, you're going to have a more right sampling, if you will, or Republican sampling in those areas, basically because that's what's there. And so those polls and stuff coming out of there are not accurate in terms of what the American people are truly, the sentiment of the American people when it comes to those things. Like I said, take those polls in Detroit and Chicago and see what happens. Let's see. And like I said, the polls have to keep, you know, the media has to keep the polls close to keep people watching. You know, what's the race doing today? You know, Donald Trump's up by 6, Donald Trump's down by 2. You know, Cruz is up by 1. Cruz is up by 6. Here comes, what's his name? Rubio, pulling up the rear but closing fast, you know. And at the same time, Jeb Bush, he's just galloping along, kind of doing his own thing at a slow pace and far behind. But anyhow, he's kind of suffering from what his brother, you know, kind of did to us and dad, you know, stuff. So that is, this is what it is. Nation building, folks, come on, Mr. Obama and Congress and all that. You want to solve this ISIL and ISIS problem? Let's take care of unfinished business. That's our issue right there. Iraq, you know, and wherever else we've been taking. Let's start build, you know, Libya, Egypt. You know, let's start building. Let's see some things going on, some positive things. Some restructuring type things going on. And I guarantee you, the focus of ISIS and ISIL, as soon as we pull away from, you know, looking at all that sensationalization and stuff, and look at some positive, you know, prosperity type, you know, projective type things, progressive type things, they'll die and go away. The ideology will be gone. You'll kill it. You'll kill the ideology. Because people will say, as a collective people, we want to build. We want to build our nation. We want to build our land. We've never done this before. We've never had Walmarts and Home Depots and, you know, all these different type of nice homes and cars. And look at Dubai. That's a perfect example. Look at Dubai. Saudi Arabia even, perhaps. They're jealous right now. They're sitting over there fooling with Iran because Iran is getting ready to get the nod, folks. Iran is getting ready to blow up Kuwait. You know, United States and Iran is getting ready to make some economic, you know, strides. You know, you got to have somebody over there. You know, that, you know, that's strong and forward and intelligent and all this other kind of stuff to nation build. So why not, you know, go in coalition with a nation that can do it, you know, with a people that can do it. It only makes sense. And this is what's happening. This is what's taking place right now. ISIL and ISIS is our own creation, and it will be our own, you know, creation to defeat and to disassemble. And like I say, to maybe even use some of those folks, you know, hands and backs and minds to build instead of destroy and destruct. You know, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? This is supposed to be one nation under God, folks. Where's the God? That's what I'll say. Where is the God? Where's the God in godliness in us that we can, you know, lead the world to a better place, to a more harmonious place, you know, to be one people, one nation, you know, under God, you know, and you know, just and for the entire world, on earth as it is in heaven. How do we get there, folks? Heaven is not a place of destruction and fighting and hatred and indifference and things of that nature. It's a place of harmony, peace, love, joy, the land of milk and honey. You know, how do we do that on this earth? We do that with you and me. It's as simple as that. You know, it's as simple as that. Michael Jackson put it out there. You want to make a change? Take a look at yourself and make that change. And, you know, we are the world. So, I mean, that's that. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Just had to come on and share a few things. Thanks again for coming out to listen to the broadcast. Tell some folks, tell some friends. You know, we want to be a family here, a great large family, a positive and progressive family in this era, so we can make a better way for the next generation. This is what this is all about. This is what this is all about. You know, so. Until our next broadcast, take care of one another. Love one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Until the next broadcast, take care for now and so long.